أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Welcome back to Living the Quran through the Living Quran The series in which this season we've been going over chapter number 36 Surah Yasin also known as the heart of the Quran The heart, something which gives life to the rest of the body And indeed, as we've been looking through Surah Yasin we hopefully have been better appreciating how This is the heart of the Quran because really all of the other topics which are discussed within the Quran, whether it be the oneness of God, whether it be prophethood, whether it be imamat or divinely appointed leadership, whether it be heaven and hell, the rewards, the punishments, the acts of worship, all of these are actually encapsulated in chapter number 36. They are all presented in this chapter in one form or another. Today we want to look at just one of the verses, verse number 69. And it relates not about the people of the past or the people of the future or the people of the present. It doesn't talk about punishments or retribution or rewards. But rather, the talk is actually about this Quran in and of itself. Sometimes the Quran does speak about itself. It is a book which speaks about the contents of the book itself. And so today we'll see in this verse how God talks about the Quran itself. And more importantly, the recipient of the Quran. Because, and we should always keep this in mind, contrary to what some Muslims may believe, that the Prophet of Islam, the beloved Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, that he is as integral to Islam as the Quran is. There can be no Islam without the Prophet. There can be no Quran without the Prophet. These are inseparable. He was not just a delivery man, because God could have sent the book on its own. He is the embodiment of the Quran, the walking Quran, the speaking Quran, the acting Quran. Before we go into a brief deliberation and reflection, let us listen to the Arabic of verse number 69 and the English translation, and then we'll come back and reflect on this verse and better understand the intent of God behind explaining about the status of the Quran and the Prophet of Islam. Allah says the following statement.
وَمَا عَلَّمْنَاهُ الشِّعْرَ وَمَا يَنْبَغِي لَهُ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا ذِكْرٌ وَقُرْآنٌ مُّبِينٌ
We have not taught him, the Prophet Muhammad, the art of composing verses, nor does it become him to be a poet. This Quran is but a means to attain to eminence, a book that is widely read and tells the right from the wrong. One of the things we see when we study the history of the Prophet of Islam, especially after the revelation began when he was 40 years old in the city of Mecca, is that the disbelievers began to baselessly accuse him of many different things. They leveled attacks against the Prophet, calling him a magician, for example. They said that this religion which is attracting people, which is making people convert, that it's magic, it's playing with the minds of the people, he's a magician. They called him insane. They said that this is a man who is speaking foolishness. And they called him a sorcerer. These accusations were there, but on top of all of these, whether it be a magician, a sorcerer who's, you know, doing witchcraft, or who is a madman, they also called him a poet because they heard the verses of the Quran. And the Arabs at that time were very known to be poetic individuals. They were very skilled at composing poetry, on the spot. And so they hear these verses coming from the man that they know to be just a man who is from amongst their own community. And they said that this is nothing but poetry. But we have to understand that divine revelation, what we call wahi, is very different than poetry. Poetry, as we know, it stems from the imagination of a human being. This Quran did not come from the imagination or from the brain or from the intellect of the messenger of God, from the Prophet Muhammad. May God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family. Poetry comes about many times through emotions, through sentiments. People sit and write poetry when they, for example, lose a loved one. When they, you know, fall in love, when they fall out of love, when they see things around them. But divine revelation is not based on emotion or sentiment. It is a reality coming from a supreme authority, from Allah, from God. And so although the Quran does contain balanced stanzas and line breaks, just like poetry might have, however, we understand that the main ingredient of poetry is not what is the ingredient of the Quran. The Quran can never be called a book of poetry, although it is, it can be read in the form of poetry. The lines are maybe created, or they're written in a style where they might resemble poetry. The breaks are there, again, the stanzas are there. But it is never to be considered as a book of poetry. It is a book of revelation, which might sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes take on the form of what we know as poetry today. And therefore God calls the Quran as a dhikr, as a reminder. And this is what the Quran is. It is a reminder of the previous prophets and their messages. It's a reminder of what the previous prophets brought to their communities. It's a reminder to things that you and I have forgotten over the years of God, of His mission, of His messengers rather, and their mission and their teachings and their statements to humanity. Sheikh Mohsin Karati in his Tafsir al-Nur paints the following beautiful description of the Quran as a dhikr. Let us go over his understanding of the Quran as a dhikr, because really it encapsulates every aspect that we would ever think about of being the word of God conveyed within the Quran. Sheikh Mohsin Karati in Tafsir al-Nur says the following statement: therefore, the Quran is nothing other than a reminder, a dhikr, just as we are told, in huwa illa dhikr, that this, the Quran, is nothing but a reminder of the power and wrath of God, a reminder of the grace and blessings of Him, a reminder of His forgiveness and clemency, a reminder of His immutable constants, Sunnatullah, and His overreaching rules which govern everything, a reminder of His prophets, successors, and His close friends, a reminder of the history of other nations which are full of lessons, a reminder of the reasons for greatness and the falls of the various nations, a reminder of the good doers and those who had received guidance, a reminder of those who were destroyed, the disbelievers, the open transgressors, the sinners and the oppressors, and their eventual outcomes. The reminder about the shows of sincerity, self-sacrifice, bravery, generosity, fortitude, and the outcome of all of those who were righteous individuals. A reminder of those who were killed, tortured, harassed, falsely accused, humiliated, had their rights taken away, and were considered as weak and powerless, and the degrading outcome of the arrogant tyrants. A reminder of the commands and prohibitions and good exhortation and wise counsel. A reminder of all of the created things which exist in the skies, on earth, and in the oceans. A reminder of the future and the eventual victory of the government of truth and the filling of the world with justice and equality and the condemnation of oppression and tyranny. The reminder of the intermediary realm after death, Al-Barzakh, and the resurrection, and the events which will transpire before the resurrection day, and how the scenes of the resurrection and all of the things which will be in hell and the blessings of paradise will look like. Yes, the Quran is nothing other than a means of reminder and a recap. This Quran is nothing more than a reminder. What a beautiful description given by the Sheikh in his commentary of what the Quran is a reminder of. And obviously, I'm sure it's not limited to this. There are so many things the Quran reminds us of, about. It's up to us to read it and to bring to our memory these blessings of God and all of the beautiful things which God has put within this noble book. As we conclude, what are some of the points that we can learn from this beautiful verse in which God supported the Prophet and supports the Quran? Well, one of the things that we can take away is that God always defends His prophets from the false accusations leveled against them. God did so with Prophet Jesus when he was but an infant in the cradle and could not speak on his own, and his mother had taken a vow of silence. God protects all of His prophets. He will support them and stand up for them. And if that is the reality for Prophet Jesus as an example, then obviously for all of the prophets, including the final prophet, who is a seal of the prophets, the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family. That is even a greater reality, that God will protect and defend him. Number two that we can learn, point number two, is that the true teacher of the Prophet of Allah, the Prophet Muhammad, may God's peace and blessings be upon him and his family, is none other than Allah, God. The true God, Allah, is the one who is the teacher of the Prophet. The Prophet never went to school in this temporal world. He never had teachers. His only teacher was Allah. And last but not least, the third point that we will leave our viewers with today is that the Quran is clear speech and is something which can be understood by all and is a book of proofs of God. All of these points and the many more which act as a reminder to us are in the Quran. We just have to read this noble book and reflect upon it and think about its teachings within our day-to-day life. As we close, we remind the viewers that if you have not yet, please do subscribe to our channel to be updated of new content when we post it. Also, make sure to hit the notification bell to receive those regular updates. And do leave a comment, a question if you have anything that we've gone through in this commentary of Surah Yasin. And we'll do our best to respond to all the comments in a timely fashion. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.